Well, this morning we're going to be talking about a challenging thing called oaths. And it's challenging because I have a hard time pronouncing it. It comes out more like oaths. So if I say oaf, you know I'm talking about oath, oath. Anyways, we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at the next few verses here, verses 33-37. So I'm going to begin just by reading that passage, and you're welcome to follow along if you would like. Matthew 5, 33-37. Jesus said, "Again, if you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." Well, I spent a lot of time this week looking at this passage and reading different viewpoints on it as well. Different commentators come out in different places on what this passage is actually talking about. And I used to think, before studying in detail, that it was primarily talking about when a person went to court and was asked to swear, what do they say, Jack? The whole truth. What do they say?
The truth, the whole truth,
so help me God. That's what I thought that this passage primarily dealt with, is what do you do when you go to court and you're asked to swear in court? In the past 46 years, I've had to do this once in my life. I had jury duty once where I was asked to, I think they ask the same thing of jurors as well, don't they? Okay, follow the law. So I had to do this once, and if I remember correctly, I affirmed instead of swearing, and so I completed my task of what Jesus is talking about here. That's what I was taught what this meant. And as I studied it, I've come out a little different position as far as the main focus that I believe Jesus is really getting at with this passage. I believe the main purpose that he's talking about here is asking us, are you a person of your word? Are you a person of integrity? Are you a person that tells the truth in each situation that you're faced with? Is your yes, yes, and your no, no? I believe this is the heart of the issue, and this is where I'm going to spend most of our time this morning. About talking about being a person of integrity. And what does that look like to be a person of integrity? What does the kingdom of God look like? We've been talking about that throughout this message on the Sermon on the Mount. How do we shine like a city on a hill? That's what we're described as. And one way, I believe, is as people of integrity, that we will tell the truth. That we will be people of our word, that we will be trustworthy and honest. And I believe this is the main point or thesis of these verses, and it encompasses all of life, not just when I'm in court and ask that question. Jesus frames this truth once again by expanding on Old Testament law. He says, "You have heard it was said, keep the oaths you've made to the Lord. But I tell you, don't even swear at all." Well, what is an oath? It's not a lazy person. Oath. What is an oath? A solemn appeal to a deity is one of the definitions that I found, or to some revered person or thing. To witness one's determination to speak the truth or to keep a promise. Now, what is the purpose of an oath? Why do we need them? Why do we need oaths? Well, because people don't tell the truth all the time. is a reason to have oaths. People don't always tell the truth. So the implication right off the bat with an oath is that when a person is under oath, that they're going to give greater care to telling the truth. And that's what happens in court. Is that true, Jack? Like,
I think the purpose of the oath is to remind them that they're at risk of committing a crime if they lie.
All right. All right. So it reminds them that if you lie, you're committing a crime, which carries some, probably some reasons for them not to lie under oath. But it doesn't work. All right. The reason I'm asking Jack is because a lawyer, just so you all know. He's a lawyer. He deals with this a lot in court. So the implication is that greater care is given in telling the truth is if you're under oath as opposed to not being under oath. And you get the idea somewhat from this passage that maybe this was happening. It appears that there were different levels of oaths, possibly. To swear by God was one thing in their minds. I don't know if the Pharisees came up with this. To swear by God's throne was another, maybe, level. Or to swear by heaven or by earth or by any manner of things seemed to have some difference in their society. So maybe there was different levels of oaths that they considered, some more binding than others. I don't know if this was happening, but I believe Jesus seems to indicate this was the case. And not only that, but if a person never swore to begin with, maybe they felt that they weren't expected as much to tell the whole truth. It reminds me a little of my school-age days. I remember those phrases, and maybe you remember some of them. I don't know, they've changed over time, so maybe you won't recognize some of them, but back in my day, it was cross my heart and hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. Anybody heard that one? Honest to God, swear to God, that was used a lot. I've heard of the pinky promise, which you join pinkies. It actually comes from a Japanese tradition where you would cut off the pinky if you broke that oath. So it actually has a lot more to it than just maybe what we thought it was. Or to just simply shake on something, you know, to shake on a deal, a business deal, or whatever. We have different things of, I think of one where supposedly if you crossed your fingers behind your back, you know, when you were saying a promise or something, that it wasn't binding, it didn't really mean anything. So a lot of different things that I remember from childhood that would kind of either reinforce that we were telling the truth or maybe negate the fact that we needed to tell the truth. But Jesus says no, very clearly in this passage. He says, I simply want you to tell the truth at all times. Treat it all the same. Don't make any distinctions or conditions or levels. Don't hide behind anything. Don't depend on anything. Don't prop it up, what you're saying. And so I don't believe the issue is primarily here about oaths, but the issue is that you and I, as followers of Jesus, should really never need to take an oath to back up what we say. We should never need to do that. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Well, what does this look like? What does it look like to be a person of honesty? I had to think of Mrs. Ellison. She was a teacher of, actually, I know at least three of myself and two other siblings back when I was growing up. My brother Randy had her as a substitute teacher, he would come home and talk about her at home, and my brother next to me would listen, my brother Kent, and Randy he didn't really like Mrs. Ellison. In fact, he called her a mean old nag. And I had Mrs. Ellison as well, and I see reasons why he would use those words. It might be a result of what happened. I don't know. But anyways, my brother Kent, of course, heard that. And wouldn't you know, Mrs. Ellison came around taking the census. My brother Kent was probably 4 or 5 years old. And he answered the door. And she said, I'm Mrs. Ellison. I'm here to take the census. And so he yells back to Mom. He said, that mean old nag is here. So what does it look like to tell the truth? We could get into that a lot as well, about what that looks like. That really isn't the emphasis of this passage. But obviously, not all truth needs to be stated if it's not requested. And there are good and bad ways of presenting truth. Now, that's not the main focus here, but it's a good way to think about looking at this. What does it look like to let your yes be yes and your no be no? And I picked this word integrity. I believe the word integrity is maybe one of the best English words to describe what we're talking about here. Integrity. The definition of integrity, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. It's definition number one. Definition number two, the state of being whole and undivided. Being whole and undivided. To be consistently honest in whatever situation, whether you're talking with your children or your parents or the teacher or the officer that pulls you over or your boss, we could go down the list. But being honest in all situations, consistently honest. And so I think for us, we have to ask, do we have different levels of honesty depending on the situation? Are we a person of integrity? Are there some things that just don't matter as much to be truthful on or completely truthful on? Is there such a thing as a little white lie? Do those things exist? And I'm going to go through some scenarios, and just so your mind is at ease, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular here, okay? So don't be thinking I'm preaching this sermon just at you. That would be a little arrogant. No, if the Holy Spirit convicts you on something, then listen to that, of course. But it was just some things that went through my mind as I was trying to work this out in practical terms. What does this look like? Maybe fudging on your taxes. I don't know. Think about that. Being consistently honest, a person of integrity. Or calling in sick. Well, that's great if you're sick. But what if you're not sick? Or are you a slider? I know sliders. I've met them. They're good at kind of sliding around the truth. You know, you ask them a question and they'll kind of... They have their ways of getting around it, you know, and presenting what they want you to think without coming out and stating what the real truth is. Maybe a little bit off, you know, not quite completely dishonest, but just making you kind of think in one direction. Do you tend to exaggerate? And, you know, we've all come, you know, I caught that fish. It was this big. you know, I don't know. Does it matter? And I think it's important for us to think about that when we look at what Jesus... Do those things matter? And I'm not here to create a list of things for you to worry about No, we're not talking about lists. We're talking about what is Jesus calling us to be as light in the world? What is he calling us to be? What does it look like to be a person of integrity? Do you resolve conflict? Or do you pretend that everything's okay? You just kind of got used to going through the motions that everything is just fine when deep down inside you might hate somebody, but you hide that and you don't make any attempt to resolve it. You just kind of, is that being honest? Is that being a person of integrity? Are you honest with your children all the time? Now, it's true, there's maybe some things that they don't need to know, that you don't need to tell them. But is there ever a good reason to be dishonest with them? To say something that isn't true? Maybe because you don't want to talk about something or whatever. Is there ever a good reason for that? Do you put on a religious front that you're some great person, that you want to keep all of those things in place about how people think of you? And so you project this persona of someone that maybe isn't true about who you are. Do you spread unconfirmed stories? It's easy on the internet, you know, somebody sends an email, wow, look at that, you know, and so you forward it to 50 people. Was it true? We could think about gossiping in that regard as well, but do you spread unconfirmed stories? Do you tell your parents you got that F on the test? You own up to that. Do you cheat on tests, or do you have someone else do your homework sometimes? Or maybe part of it. Somebody, maybe have somebody write your paper instead of you writing it, whatever it might be. So there's a lot of things we could think about, but I think it's important for us not to just, when we look at what Jesus is saying, not to just not to let it come down into practical terms, into real life, to put it to feed in our life. What does that look like? Are you dependable? Are you a dependable person? Do you do what you say you will do? You keep your appointments. You show up on time. I was late this morning. I forgot I was on the worship team. And so I was just kind of piddling around at home and suddenly realized I'm supposed to play guitar this morning. So I jump in the car, run out the door. Of course, my tire was a little bit low. You know how those things go. They always go that way. My tire was a little bit low. Should I go pump it up? I don't have time to go. So I kind of limped here this morning. And while I'm coming here, I told Levi last Sunday, I said, he asked me if I could plug the coffee pot in when I got here early, because I'm always here early. I said, sure, I can do that. And I knew I was going to forget, because so I've learned to put appointments in my phone. So like, not in my phone, but my Google Calendar. So it sends me a text message like when I'm supposed to do something. I have to do that nowadays in order to keep appointments and things. So while I'm driving here, I was supposed to be here already. I got this text message that I was supposed to turn the coffee pot on. Well, of course, by the time I got here, I forgot completely about it. So Levi got here and the coffee pot's not turned on, not plugged in. I told him I would do it last Sunday. But you see the point, are we people that keep our appointment? Are we on time? Does it matter? Do those things matter? Does it matter being a person of integrity? And of course we make mistakes and we forget. It's part of who we are, but some people are consistently late. You can count on it that they're going to be late. I remember an appointment that I had with an Everence guy that I was supposed to meet with at Los Mariachis and about 2 years ago, actually about exactly 2 years ago, that he called me from Los Mariachis. I was in Columbus. Like, so, where you at? I don't know if I had a good excuse. I was, Kevin and Carla were in the hospital, and I was at the hospital with them, but I completely had forgotten about my commitment to be at this appointment. Do these things matter? If you say you're going to pray for someone, do you do it? Now, I know there have been times where I've said, I will pray for you, and I have not done it. And so even with that, I need to write it down. I've learned that I have to write it down. If I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them, I had to write it down or something so that I can put it on an area where I have people that I list that I want to pray for. Sometimes it's better just to pray for them right there instead of saying, I'll pray for you. Go ahead and do it. But do those things matter? Do you do a good job? Is it different if you're paid for it, or if you're a volunteer, or if your parents ask you to do it? Is there some kind of difference on how good of a job you're supposed to do? What you've committed to do? Or as a student, maybe in college or high school, do you do a good job? Does it matter if the boss is in the office or not? Does it matter if your parents are home or not? Or your wife or your husband? Do you need to be told once? Twice? Three times? Five times? About something? Lots of questions we could ask. Are you trustworthy? Can you be entrusted with confidential things? Are you a manipulator? Are your motives honest when you're talking and working with people? Or is there something else going on when you're working with people? You are trying to move them in a particular direction. Are you a people pleaser or a God pleaser? Do you work hard to make a good impression? And how far will you go to maintain an image that you want with other people? Are you willing to let people see the real you? Are you confident in who you are in Christ? Or the God-pleaser part, are you truly seeking God? Do you claim to be in Christ? And if you do, then we see in 1 John, he says, then do what he says. Don't be like the Pharisees who are described like beautiful coffins on the outside, but dead man's bones inside. And finally, what I see in this passage as well is the need in our integrity to be humble. Jesus says, who of you can make even one of your hairs white or black? I know a lot of you can, actually. You probably do. But I don't think he's talking about coloring. Like, I think he's talking about just thinking, hey, I want that hair to be white or I want it to be black. Can we do that? And of course, the answer is no. The point is that we should approach life with great humility. God alone is sovereign and he knows it all. Okay? Everything you do and say is known by him, whether you make an oath or whether you don't. He knows exactly whether what you say is true or not. Don't think that you're fooling him somehow. Jesus says in Matthew 12 that on the day of judgment, we will give an account for every idle word. Interesting. Every idle word. It matters to be a person of integrity in all things. So when we speak, speak as if you are in the presence of God. Because you know what? You are. Act as though you are in the presence of God because you are. It's very simple. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's simple, but it's hard. It's a work that Jesus does in our heart. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so really the real question is have you surrendered your heart to Christ? And I don't know about you, but there's always parts of my heart that need to be continually given back to the Lord. Say, here it is again, God. You take this and make it into what you want it to be. We have the opportunity to shine in this universe, to set ourselves apart from the world, to live as Jesus lived, to be people of integrity and of honesty. And the world may seem not to respect it. Of course, we see all different kinds of examples in the world of dishonesty and even promoting that, whether it's an athlete who's faking the he's injured, whatever it might be. You can just, it's in our society. Whether you're listening to the advertisements on the radio that say that this product is going to transform your life, or some salesman, whatever. It doesn't seem that the world really values honesty or integrity. But I'll tell you what, they notice a person of integrity. That person stands out. And I could imagine that each of you, if you thought about it, there's a person in your life that you could point to right now and you would say, that is a person of integrity, a person of honesty. The world notices, and many will even ask, what makes you different? Employers want these kinds of people. People want these kinds of friends and neighbors. They want these kinds of business people, these kinds of students. A life transformed by Jesus shines brightly in this dark world, and we have the power to transform this world. It is the power of God, and it begins in our own hearts. So this morning I want you to take a moment and reflect on your own life. Are you a person of integrity? Are you a person of your word? Are you honest and truthful? What do your children see? What do your coworkers see? What does your boss see? Do they see the real person that you are? We need to encourage each other, to help each other, to walk with each other as we surrender our lives to Christ. Yesterday we were working at the new building, putting sound wires in, and Andrew and I were debating about adding an if we wanted to ask to add an outlet in a certain spot. And I said, well, we could just put a pull wire in there, if you know what that is, for future. But we knew that probably wouldn't go over an inspection. And I was thinking out loud, I made this comment. I said, well, you know, we could put that in after the inspection. And Andrew just looked at me and he said, well, that would be dishonest. I said, you're right, it would. So we need to help each other with this and encourage each other and to compliment people that we see as people of integrity in our lives, to lift them up, to hold them up. So I want you to think about that this morning. Let's go to prayer. And I'm just going to leave a period of silence for you to think about that and pray on your own, then I'll close. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you don't leave us where we're at, but you call us to something greater. And Lord, we recognize our dependence on the work of your Spirit in our lives to be people of integrity, to be people of honesty. And Lord, I pray that we would respond to you, what you're calling us to, the next step that you're asking us to take in this. And I pray that we might truly shine like lights in this universe as we hold out truth, as we are people of integrity. Lord, we have an opportunity to influence the people around us. And Lord, may this be one way that we point to you, that we point people to you. One way that the truth of who you are is made known to the world. We ask for your help, and we are so thankful for your grace and your mercy as we are being transformed. We pray this in your name. Amen.